If you would be turning with us, I'd like for you to mark your place, first of all, though, in Deuteronomy chapter number 18. We'll be coming to here and try to link these two passages of Scripture together. Deuteronomy 18, and when you find your place there, turn with me and mark your place at Deuteronomy 18 and turn to John chapter number 5. We'll try to deliver the message I believe the Lord's laid on her heart. God put this in my heart on my lunch break about Friday, and we just feel like this is what the Lord would have us to have tonight. And then, so Deuteronomy chapter 18, mark your place there and turn with me to John chapter 5. And the Bible says in verse 39, search the Scriptures. We need to be searching the Scriptures, don't we? The word search means to seek. The Bible says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. You bear with me tonight. I just want to use this text here as introduction to the message. If the only Scriptures you get is what you get on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you're going to be hurting. You need to be searching the Scriptures every day, seeing what God has in there for you. By the way, our God is a God that wants to put the light in our life. He wants us to see the way. He wants us to know what's right and wrong. He says, search the Scriptures. And so we're taught the Scriptures that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe that he's talking to a group of people here, the Jews. In the Gospels here, as he's talking to Jews, I believe they erred in two ways. First of all, they would cherry-pick the Scriptures, pick the Scriptures they like, and this Scripture over here, and this Scripture over here, that will fit their agenda. And then their second error is that they would add to the Scriptures. And so they added to the Scriptures their traditions and their sayings, and what was handed down from this feller to this feller to this feller, and they come up with their own way and thought of what the Scriptures was to say. But he says, search the Scriptures. He said, in them, for in them you think you have eternal life. We don't need to think that we have eternal life. We need to know, amen. He said, you perceive that you have eternal life in them Scriptures. You perceive that you're going to heaven. He said, but you're wolves in sheep's clothing. You have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I believe to help us understand tonight the intentions and the perspective falsely here of the Jews at this time, we see Jesus and his interaction with the one we call the rich young ruler. He said, what must I do to have eternal life? And I believe he asked it in such a fashion that said, what can I do? What can be, how do I achieve it? How do I earn it? How do I live it? And here he says, in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. Salvation didn't come by the head knowledge that this rich young ruler that we speak of thought that he could use to obtain eternal life, but the Scriptures pointed to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is salvation. And he says in verse 40, and you will not come to me. You see, salvation involves coming to God, not coming to religion. Salvation involves getting right with God. He says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. I believe that's the fulfillment of that is yet to come whenever they will receive the Antichrist, the man of sin, the one that speaks of himself and not of God. In verse number 45, Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. That word accuse means to be a plaintiff or to charge with some offense. He says, don't think I will accuse you to the Father. I think about when he said, I'm not come, Lord, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says, there is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. See, they didn't care to talk about Moses. They had Moses, they had the law, they had Abraham, and they had these, and they didn't care to talk about them, and I believe even to the point to where they worshipped Moses in a way. And so he says, you don't have to worry about just yet what I'm saying. He said, I'm pointing you to the Scriptures. He's saying, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, but they are they that testify me. And they said, well, what's Moses got to do with you? He says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Now tonight, as we use this Scripture here for introduction, we think about what's called the four Gospels. And I've heard many preachers say that it's better to say the four Gospel writers. And I'm not dogmatic about that, but it is true. There is one Gospel. And I would like to preach a message tonight entitled, The Gospel According to Moses. The Gospel According to Moses. Let's pray tonight and ask for the Lord's help. God, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the precious words of God. We thank You, God, that these Scriptures are true. We thank You, God, that these Scriptures are timely. And God, they're timeless, God. And we're glad that the Scriptures are still good tonight. And Lord, we ask that You permit us, God, to preach Thy precious Word, that You would give us a door of utterance, God, to be able to speak the wonderful words of God. And God, that You would fill us up. And God, You'd speak to every single heart that's here tonight, God, in Your precious will and way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me there with Deuteronomy chapter number 18. I believe we find here what he's talking about in the Scriptures. Of course, I don't believe this is the only time of that we see a messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, certainly, but we find that the first five books of the Old Testament, that is the writings of Moses, the Pentateuch as it's called, and here we find a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, of His coming, of His work, and what He's going to do. Look with me there in verse number 15 of chapter 18. The Bible says, the Lord thy God will raise up to thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Notice that big P, prophet, amen. I believe that's speaking of deity, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Four simple things tonight I'd like to speak about the gospel according to Moses. Number one, we see his pedigree. He says here in verse number 15, he said, thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. I believe this is significant because God is a God that He can do whatever He wants to. He's all-powerful. Amen. He's all-knowing. And friend, He can do as He pleases. But friend, God chose to manifest Himself to man in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He chose to do it in such a fashion that He came to His people, the people of Israel. Amen. And He brought up a man by the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the nation of Israel. He didn't bring him in a fashion that he wouldn't been able to relate to those people. He didn't bring him from the palaces of Egypt. He didn't bring him from any place of any kingship that was established on earth. But friend, he was the God of heaven that came down to where man was. Amen. A matter of fact, he was born in a manger. You think about how lowly that is and how humble that is. I'm glad that he was brought in the midst of thee and thy brethren. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. That is by no means saying that he sinned. Friend, he did not sin. Let me get that straight tonight. Amen. You wouldn't believe the people today that will speculate whether or not he sinned. Friend, let me tell you something. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. That means we serve a God, amen, that was able, amen, and he can relate to us, and we can relate to him, and we can know that he was just like as Moses was in the midst of them and his brethren. He was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, of the root of Jesse, the tribe of Judah, someone they could understand, someone they knew about. Amen. And let me tell you something. When it come to his priesthood, our high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and how that he was tempted, he passed the test. Let me tell you that. Amen. He was tempted of Satan. Satan couldn't find any fault in him. Amen. He was tested. Amen. Of mankind. Man looked him over. Amen. Couldn't find no fault in him. Amen. Let me tell you something. Whenever he's hanging on the cross at Calvary as he died there in our stead for our sins, amen, God didn't find any fault in him. Praise God. He was perfect and holy. Amen. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, amen, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, amen, found in the likeness of man. Amen. He humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Thank God that he humbled himself. Thank God that he came to where you and I was at. Amen. In the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we find that most leaders, most people of notoriety, amen, most people that are in charge today, even religious leaders, are not very approachable people. There are people that you don't have much access to. And matter of fact, they are detached, amen, from any sense of normal and what's going on down here where the normal people are at. They don't have any sense of that. They don't have any relatability to that. But friend, let me tell you something. Our Savior, the one that we base our faith upon, amen, the one that we put our faith only in Him, amen, He suffered pain far beyond anything that you and I have ever suffered. He could experience a hunger, amen. We heard the message this morning about coming down. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to hurt. He knew what it was like, amen, to shed tears over a loved one. Amen. He can relate to you and I, and we can relate to Him. That's our Savior. He's not somebody way off somewhere we don't have any access to. I want to talk about His pedigree. I wonder why, though people, amen, in the Bible, there were several that said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. He was someone that they could relate to. By the way, speaking of pedigree, that's your, you know, it speaks of genealogy and so forth. His father was not Joseph. Joseph was not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you got a Bible that says otherwise, picture in the trash. Amen. Amen. If you got a Bible that says, amen, where it's supposed to say that Mary was a virgin and it says she was a young woman, picture in the garbage. Amen. Amen. There's many versions out there today, amen, that try, amen, to attack the deity, amen, and the flaw and the perfectness of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And our Bible friend, whenever you go over there, amen, you see the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come down to Joseph. Yeah, it includes his earthly genealogy. It talks about Joseph, but friend, when it comes down to Joseph, he didn't begat Jesus. He was the husband of Mary, amen, who was born Jesus, amen. Hey, there's a big difference in that, amen. He was born and he was conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That makes him as one. He didn't inherit the sin nature of Adam. Amen. He was perfect and holy. But friend, let me tell you something tonight. Amen. He was perfect. He had a perfect pedigree, perfect background. But the gospel according to Moses, he promised of the one to come that would come out of the midst of his brethren. He certainly did that. He was of the tribe of Judah. and he was born there among the Jewish people. They brought him to be circumcised the eighth day. Simeon witnessed him coming and said of him, Amen, he was the consolation of Israel. Behold, mine eyes have seen my salvation. And friend, he witnessed that there, and he was among his brethren. And so we see his pedigree. Number two, we see his person here in verse number 15. Our whole message comes from basically verse number 15. He says, unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. I believe he speaks of how that this prophet to come, this big P prophet, the Messiah, will be like Moses. He had characteristics, and we see many people in the Old Testament that were pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we see that Moses was a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to mention some things here tonight and see if you can distinguish whether or not it's speaking of Moses or speaking of Christ. He had a humble and a miraculous start on earth. He was called a mediator. He performed many miracles. He went away and took a Gentile bride. I believe all of these things can be characteristics given to both Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the gospel according to Moses says that he will be like unto me. And boy, what a message that is. You see, Moses had a humble beginning there. Born into slavery in Egypt, times when they was killing babies left and right, like they are today. And he had a miraculous beginning in that his mother, amen, put him in that ark of bulrushes, pitched it within and without, and set him out there to be killed. She'd done all that she can do. And then just a little while later, amen, she's nursing her own for Pharaoh's daughter, amen. You think about what a miraculous start that is. And then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen, whenever he was born, amen, how that God, he was born there in a manger. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost of God, amen. And you think about what all happened at that time, amen, it was miraculous. It was God that did it. He's called a mediator. Moses was a man that went to God on behalf of the people. Amen. He went, amen, before him. There was many times, I believe, that he was willing, amen, to suffer. He was willing to die for the people of God. Christ was the same. He was willing to lay down his life for his people. He was willing to lay down his life, amen, for those that he loved. Moses was able, through the power of God, to witness and perform many miracles. The crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground, and the plagues that happened, amen, in Egypt, and all the things that took place, the rod becoming a serpent, and all those things, amen, those were miracles that took place. When Jesus came, he performed many miracles, amen, and it was glory unto God Almighty. But I'm saying this to say, amen, he was like unto Moses. Just similar how that he went away, and Moses went away when he went to the backside of the desert. Amen. And God spoke to him there in the burning bush. Amen. Similarly, Jesus Christ went away back into heaven to come after his own one day after a while. And Moses took a Gentile bride while he was out there in the desert. Amen. Jesus is gathering himself together, a Gentile bride right now. Boy, what a picture. Amen. What a gospel found here. Amen, in the Old Testament. Amen, the gospel just means good news, amen. Good news from a far country, from what I understand. Amen, and so it was said of Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and 10, and there arose no prophet, not a prophet since, in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Oh, friend, I believe up until this time, it could have been said of Moses, there was nobody like him. Amen. There wasn't a prophet, amen, like the prophet Moses, the things that he saw. And it says in that passage, amen, which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt and all of his servants and to all his land, and that almighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. It could have been said that we've not seen anything like this before. There's nobody like him. And friend, when Jesus Christ came along, amen, and preached the Word of God, amen, people said, there's no other man spake like this man. Amen, people would say, things like, there's never been one like this before speak like this. Oh, friend, there was nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's never been since. And there never will be. So we see His pedigree, we see the person, and we see His prophecy here in this passage. For the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. He says you're going to listen to him. He's going to have something to say. And honestly, I believe that this, the fulfillment of this will be ultimately when Israel is restored in the end times back unto God. And they will repent and have great time of revival. But I believe that we can see an application here for ourselves. Amen. We can see, look here with me in verse number 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Amen. Let's talk about Sinai there. Amen. Could you imagine, why would they be saying, amen, that let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God? Most of the time, friend, we hear from God, we want to hear His voice again. But friend, this time was different. Amen. He spoke to them out of the mountain. And if you want to read about it, you go there to Exodus 19. Amen. Moses spoke to God and he said, I'm going to tell them something. Amen. I believe it was the third month, and they waited until the third day. And friend, God sat down on that mountain in the cloud. Amen. And there was thunderings and lightnings. Amen. And great terror fell upon the people. Amen. And I believe that whenever they witnessed the presence of God fall in that fashion, amen, it wasn't a running, shouting spell that they had. Oh, friend, they was in terror. They feared God. Amen. They realized that He was God Almighty there on that mountain. Amen. And friend, it affected them in such a way. They said, don't speak to us like that again. Oh, God, that like to kill us. Amen. That's the way I understand it in my vernacular. Oh, God, that like to kill us when you spoke to us on that fashion. Matter of fact, let me just read a little bit of that. I didn't think I would. Amen. And it says here in Exodus chapter number 19, he says, and he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and a voice of the trumpet was exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. Oh, friend, you're talking about a God that could build a fire. Amen. He descended on that mountain. Amen. In a fire. Amen. And the Bible says, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. Friend, God manifested Himself here in this fashion. Amen. And they realized that He wasn't no God that didn't have any power. But friend, He was a God of power. He was a God of glory. And He was a God of righteousness. And friend, He gave them the law. He gave them the Ten Commandments. Amen. He gave them their marching orders, as it were. Amen. And friend, here in this passage of Scripture, He's given their perspective on what happened. And He's saying, we don't want to see that terror again in that fashion. Amen. We want God to speak to us. And He says, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Amen. God was going to send them someone to speak to them, not in that fashion anymore. He said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Amen. God give them someone, amen, that could come right down to their level. Amen. They didn't have to sit there and tremble in terror anymore. Amen. Like He did when He spoke to them out of that mountain and give them the law. Friend, He sent the darling Lamb of God. Amen. He sent them the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. He was called Emmanuel, which is called God with us. And friend, He does the same thing today. Amen. People get this idea that God's sitting up there, amen, and zapping people left and right. Amen. And yes, He is a God of holiness, amen, and righteousness. But friend, He's a God that says, come unto Me. Amen. He's the God that's standing on the door. Amen. He's knocking on your heart's door today. Amen. And He's a God of mercy. He's a God that wants to save you. He's a God that loves you. He's a God that wants you to go to heaven one day with Him after a while. And friend, that ought to be our message too. We're just going to heaven. God saved us. We should want you to go too. Amen. Thank God. Unto Him you shall hearken. I believe that's why when Jesus was baptized, God said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And at the transfiguration, He said the same thing, but He said, hear ye Him. He said, this is the one that's going to do the talking. He come down and spoke to you. What did He have to say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I'm glad that He prophesied the prophecy of Moses' gospel. And lastly tonight, we see the penalty. In verse number 19, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto My words, which he shall speak in My name, I will require it of him. Just know, friend, whether saved or lost, there'll come a day to stand before God. I'm glad for the saved. We won't have to stand in judgment of our sin, because that was judged at Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the unbeliever will have to stand before the great white throne. That throne that John saw, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. John saw the dead, small and great. It didn't matter their pedigree. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if he was born a palace. It didn't matter if he was born a pauper. You're going to stand before God. Stand before God. Amen. And if you've never been saved, never been born again, there'll be a penalty. The Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death means separation. You've got physical death. Amen. When the body is separated from the spirit, it goes back to God and whence it came. Amen. Then you've got spiritual death. Amen. Which is being separated from God. Then you've got eternal death, which is the second death. That's eternal separation from God. Boy, I tell you what, the penalty of sin, you can't pay the penalty of sin yourself. It took the Lord Jesus Christ to pay that sin. I'm glad that we can find the gospel, not only in the New Testament, but we can find the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the Old Testament. Amen. Let's pray tonight. God, we thank You, Lord, for the precious Scriptures. Thank You, God, for the Word of God. I'm glad that You're real to us, that You're our ever-present help in time of need. Lord, bless the remainder of the service, that You'd have Your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen.